The reading this morning is from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he'd gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
Father, we thank you for your presence with us. As we delve into your word, we invite you to awaken our hearts, expand our minds, and shape our identity in you. I offer these words to you. May you take them and use them. May they, as the prophet Isaiah says, not return empty, but accomplish what you desire and achieve the purposes for which you sent them. A couple of guys named Ed and Fred, you knew this was coming, right? You just knew this was coming. A couple of guys named Ed and Fred, I will get further than that, I'm sure. They had decided they wanted to go fishing for the very first time. They'd never been fishing before, and so they decide they want to go fishing. And so what they did is they go watch all the YouTube videos, go down to the lake, they hire a boat, they know how to do their tackle, they know how to catch their fish first time. And so as they get their boat, they've read enough about fishing to know how to cast into the water, etc., etc. And so as they go out, they set themselves up, they put their bait on the hooks, and they start to cast their lines into the water. And before long, they're catching fish, and they are catching so many fish. And they catch fish all day long, catch some, throw them back, catch some, throw them some. And it starts to, just about every time that their lines hit the water, they catch fish. And they're thinking, this is great. I don't know how many, do you have fishermen in the congregation? No, me neither, so. They caught so many fish that they're really getting excited about this new hobby of theirs. But eventually it starts to get dark, and Fred decides to go to the front of the boat to pull up the anchor. And as he starts to pull up the anchor, he looks behind, and Ed is scratching a big X in the boat. And Fred says to him, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm marking the spot where we can come fishing again." Fred says to him, "Don't be stupid, man. What if we get another boat?" Now, I'm not a fisherman, but I believe it can be quite relaxing and fun. I remember one morning as I came downstairs and got the coffee machine ready, and I put the TV on, and surprise, surprise, it was on the sports channel. It was just some random fishing program that was on, but I was watching how these guys just sit there and they throw their lines and they just wait. And I thought, I must be a heck of a patient person to be able to do that. But as I was watching, I thought to myself, how can they enjoy fishing? Because they're doing nothing. They're just sitting and waiting. And then I was reminded of a conversation I had with somebody, and they said, "You like Formula One, right?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "How can you watch Formula One? It's so boring." And they were a fisherman, so I thought, no, touche. We had a neighbor who was a serious fisherman. I mean, when I was growing up, a serious fisherman. He would often, he'd go out almost every week fishing, and he caught a blue marlin. Do you know what a marlin? Blue marlin? Yeah, one of these. And he had it mounted on his wall. I think I nearly fell over the first day I walked in seeing this thing on the wall in the lounge. It was incredible. But some people love it, some people hate it. But in our story today, Peter, James, and John were all fishermen. They didn't catch for fun, they caught fish for a living. This wasn't just a hobby or a sport for them, this is actually their livelihood. And so Jesus comes along, and scholars believe that these three may have seen them the day before, so they may have heard, because they were Peter and James were followers of John, and therefore they must have heard Jesus speaking at the time. But immediately Jesus comes to them and he says to them, "Follow me." And they drop their nets and they follow him. And so I wanted to, in this, the theme that we've been looking at just over the last 2 weeks is this theme of discipleship. And I wanted to just look at the first week we looked at Nathanael and Jesus calling Nathanael. You may remember that. I think it's on the recording if you haven't managed to get a listen to it. But today I wanted to just look at three things that Jesus says in this gospel writing to us, and hopefully they'll be helpful for us. The first thing that I believe Jesus says is that he calls us into the kingdom. Mark chapter 1 verse 15 says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." After John the Baptist was put in prison, this was the anointed time for Jesus' ministry to begin. Mark records the words from Jesus, "The time has come and the kingdom of God is here." So what does that mean, the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God means the authority of God or the rule of God. The accessibility of God. In the Old Testament, you may recall that the only time you could access the presence of God was in the temple. And in the New Testament, Jesus says, "You are the temple. I want to reside in you." And so Jesus has made access to God possible. And so why is that important? Because to come into the kingdom is an invitation. It's not a given. It's by invitation. We were created to live in an everlasting relationship with our Creator and Father, and because of where we've been and the wrongdoing in our lives, we've been separated from that, and often still are separated. And Jesus is constantly throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, calling his people back into relationship with him. At the outset of Jesus' ministry, these are the words that he speaks to the people there. These are the followers of John the Baptist that are there. And John is now taken into prison. He's been put in prison, and so Jesus' ministry begins. And Jesus says to them, to enter the kingdom, one has to repent and believe the good news. Todd White, who is a healing evangelist in America, he says these words. He says, "If we don't see that we have sinned against a holy God, there really can't be repentance. If we don't see that we have sinned against a holy God, there really can't be repentance." So that's the reason why God came into the world. Everybody, or a lot of people, quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life." But very few quote John 3 verse 17, "For he did not come into the world to judge the world, but to save the world." And people get that wrong. Cliff Richard sings a song called "From a Distance." Anybody know it? Yeah, I'm not going to sing it because that's embarrassing, but the words are, "From a distance, God is watching us." It's a lovely song, but bad theology. Bad theology. God is not watching us from a distance. In the form of Jesus Christ, in the person of Jesus, he has come to be with us. In Jesus, we have a God who is a Savior, who is real, who invites us into this kingdom that Paul says we have no idea, no ear has seen, no eye has heard, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what God has prepared for those who love him. We cannot begin to imagine it. And through the death and resurrection of Jesus, he says, come into this everlasting life. So the first thing, I think Jesus calls us into the kingdom. The second thing that I see in this gospel is Jesus' call is urgent. Jesus' call is urgent. And Dave, thank you for your powerful prayers. They were amazing. But in there, Dave was saying that we need to go out and speak to those around us. Mark doesn't give us very much information. If you've read Mark, you can probably do it in an afternoon or a couple of hours. It's a very short gospel. But Mark is not interested in the genealogy. He's not interested in the line of David or the line or anything like that. Mark wants to get right to the central part of what the ministry is about, and that's about Jesus. Mark's gospel is an urgent gospel too. He's urgent to give us the good news about Jesus. The time has come, it's here, it's now. Urgency because souls are being lost. In John's gospel, Jesus says these words in John 4, verse 35. He says, "Don't you have a saying, it is still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." You might know the verse in Matthew. But what Jesus is saying here is that when Matthew says, the fields are ripe for harvest, so pray that God sends laborers. How many of you know that when you pray for something, God wants to use you for that cause? When he says pray for laborers, he's saying pray that you and I may have the courage to do what he's asking us to do. Not somebody else to do it. You and me. Did you know it's Simon and Andrew's reaction? They followed Jesus immediately. Their livelihood was fishing, and immediately they left it. They left family and they followed Jesus. Not one hesitation. At once, they said, and Mark is very clear to give us in two verses, he says these things. At once they left their nets and followed him, verse 18 and verse 20, without delay. They followed Jesus without hesitation. And I wonder sometimes, do we follow Jesus temporarily? Do we follow Jesus when it suits us? It is suggested, I read this somewhere, I don't know if it's true, but you can help me. In the average household, now you can decide whether you're an average household or not, so all these things are objectively taken. It is suggested that in a regular or an average home, we would have heard between 2,000 and 3,000 words before getting up and having breakfast. 2,000 to 3,000 words before. By the time we've had breakfast. So that could be the radio, it could be the TV, it could be the paper, the internet, your phone, whatever it is, 2,000 to 3,000 words. Ask yourself the question, if we're hearing 2,000 to 3,000 words before breakfast, are any of those words the words of Jesus in our lives? If they are, fantastic. If they're not, maybe we need to reevaluate what voices we're listening to. Doesn't help shaking. We are called to be in relation with God, and where are we in relation to that calling? Can we hear the urgency of Jesus and Mark as he speaks to us today? We look along a broken world. We've got Friday, day of prayer for the Middle East. How many of us are praying for those people that are lost that we know of? I've got a friend who I've known now for 10 years? Yeah, 10 years. I've just got to know him. I've been praying for him for 10 years that God would do something in his life. He's an atheist. And when we're together, he says, this is my Christian friend and I'm an atheist. So he makes it very clear. But we get along quite well. I haven't seen him in a while. But 10 years I've been praying for him, and I'm hoping that one day Jesus hears my call. Because I'm urgent about it, and I know that Jesus is. But one day he said, it was around Easter time, 2 years ago, and he said, I might just be thinking of coming along to your church one day. I said, thank you, Jesus. There is an urgency for those who are not in the kingdom. and we need to start praying for them. And then thirdly, Jesus calls us to change. In verse 17, he says, come, follow me. In the New Revised Standard Version, he says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus is saying, I will recreate you. I will change you. I will transform you into a new person. What does Paul write? He says, if anyone is in Christ, they are now a new creation. The old has passed, and the new has come. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. 2 Corinthians 5. And that's what the gospel is about. The gospel is about becoming more like Jesus. It's not just about eternal life. That's true. There is that, but it's about becoming different. It's about having our hearts transformed into the likeness and the image of our Creator we were made in. Jesus meets us where we are, but he never leaves us where we are. And as we begin to follow him and spend time with him, he begins to change us. And if we allow his Holy Spirit to touch us, he certainly does on days like today. And he makes us a new kind of person, and he begins to make us a little bit more human, a little bit more Christ-like. I've used the name Bob, so I hope no one gets offended if I use the name Bob. But Bob was one day getting dressed with his wife, and he was unsure about his choice of clothes. And so he said to his wife, do you think I need to change? Let's use Bob's wife as Rosemary, because I don't know a Rosemary here. And Rosemary turned, took the opportunity, and she said, are you talking about your shirt or wholesale life changes? Jesus calls us to be changed people. Are we responding to that invitation to become changed people? Is there more love, more patience, more kindness, more gratitude, more love in our lives, more self-control? If the answer is yes, then wonderful. Praise God. Thank you that God is transforming you. But if not, then maybe we need to hear God's call on our lives again to become changed people. I have a friend who he's my best friend in South Africa. I've known him now for over 35 years. He's a real blessing. He was the one that led me to faith in Jesus. And every day he would come and he would talk to me about Jesus, and I'd say, I don't want to know about your Jesus. But he was faithful, and he continued to pray, and he continued to pray. And he said, one day he said to me, he said, we're going on a camp. Would you like to go with? I said, is it a Christian camp? He said, yes. I said, no, thank you. He continued to pray. And on the Thursday of the Friday that the camp was, I said to him, I phoned him and I said to him, I said, are you still going on that camp? And he said, yes. I said, can I go with? And he said, yes. And on the Saturday night, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus. One person prayed for me. One person spoke to me about the gospel. And because of one person's act, I am now in the kingdom. And I have the privilege and honor of being your pastor because of one person's faithfulness, one person's prayers. Craig Rochelle says that you must never underestimate how God can use you. One word of encouragement, one line can change a person's life forever. So don't think that you're not having an impact in the kingdom. You are having an impact in the kingdom because of what you're saying and you're encouraging. Matthew 20 says that many are called, but few are chosen. And that means that many are called, but few respond to the calling. I wonder today, do we yearn and hunger for God in our lives? Are our hearts burning for more of God's love? The two people walking on Emmaus Road, Jesus comes up to them and he starts talking to them, and they don't know who he is. And after supper, he reveals himself to them. And they turn and they say, were our hearts not burning? Do our hearts burn to be with Jesus, to walk with him along the road and to bring him into everything we do? Are we hearing the urgency in God's voice today to follow him? What nets do we need to drop in order to follow him? Amen. Amen.
Father God, we read in Scripture the words, what is humankind that you are mindful of them? Yet we thank you that in the person of Jesus Christ, you care so deeply and are so mindful of us. That you would leave your throne room. You would give up heaven's glory. That you would be crucified in the most horrible way to show that you love us, that you care for us, that we are your prized possession. Lord has been moving this morning, and I want to just allow some space just to allow us to connect again with our Creator who says, I love you. I want to be with you. I want to walk with you. I wonder where your heart is today. I wonder if we need to reimagine that call of urgency on our own lives. And I wonder what we need to drop in order to follow Jesus today.